In the Air Force, we're beginning a multi-year program. Not beginning is probably the wrong term. We're continuing a multi-year program to do what we call force shape, because our numbers are such that it's our responsibility now to make sure we have the right people in the right jobs at the right time. And that includes active duty, guard, reserve, and our civilian workforce. On our civilian workforce, we've been over this year offering voluntary early retirement incentives and separation incentives to encourage those who are retirement eligible to go ahead and retire, so we can bring our numbers down so that we can keep the employees who still want to serve and move them into jobs where they can use their skills and the things that they've learned over the years.
And so on the end strength number, I think it's 501,000 or so that you have to get down to. How does that tie in with the whole structure of the squadrons and the air crews and the air ground controllers that control aircraft? That must all kind of have to happen as a piece.
Well, it does. We're not, I think I'd address that with you properly. None of these reductions will change the basic organizational structure of the Air Force. And the squadron continues to be the building block and the most important fundamental organizational foundation for how we do our job and how we do our business. These reductions are really across the board in all areas and all specialties, which will allow us to come down to a number that is sustainable, but still allows us to be agile, to be lethal, and for us to be able to respond on a moment's notice.
We look at the Army, for example, their long-term reduction, you can count the number. There's going to be like 12 or 15 fewer brigades. What do we know about the Air Force? And again, speaking of the uniform side before we get to the civilian side, what do we know about the number of squadrons or wings that will be gone by the time this is all finished?
The number of squadrons and wings will be reduced will really be minimal. We're talking about, and you have to remember, the Air Force numbers coming down are going to be substantially less than those of the Army and the Marine Corps, simply because over the last few years, as we've had a ground-centric campaign, we've had to robust the numbers of the Marine Corps and the Army, and so their numbers are going to be coming down in greater proportion than the other services. So you won't see significant reduction in wings and squadrons. You'll see reductions capability, where we try to focus on multi-role aircraft and multi-role platforms that will allow us to be more versatile when we conduct our mission.
We are speaking with Lieutenant General Darrell Jones, the Air Force Deputy Chief of Staff for Manpower, Personnel, and Services.
General, the Education Department is using early retirements as a way to sort of reshape its department to give people with certain new skills in. And you talked about just a few minutes ago about wanting to have the right people for the right job. What do you mean by that? I mean, are you looking for certain skill sets that perhaps are not representative enough in the current employee group that you have now?
Oh, no, we have great employees now with wonderful skill sets, but your goal is to make sure the individual you put into a job has the prerequisite skills to do that job, whether it's a specialty in aircraft maintenance, a specialty in administration, or financial management. You always want to make sure the people in those jobs are trained, and we do a wonderful job of training people in the Air Force, of bringing people in that have this expertise, and it's just something you have to focus on. It's not simply putting a person into an open slot. You've got to make sure that person has the right credentials. You got to make sure that person's going to be able to stay with you for a number of years, because one of the most important things we're doing today is ensuring that our force is sustainable for the Air Force of the future.
Now, as you make these selective trims here and there, you probably also want to take the opportunity to make sure that the resulting people left are the highest caliber you can possibly have. How do you prevent, let's say, the wrong people from going for buyouts you might be offering or early retirements? That is to say, how do you want the people you want to stay?
You can incentivize you can tailor any incentive to address the people that you hope to apply for a job. But in the end, they are incentives, and so the individuals leaving have to want to leave. But we've got such vast skill sets in the Air Force, as all the services do, that we'll be able to manage the quality of the people within those drawdowns and those reductions. Because the goal at the end is to, like you said, have the highest quality airmen. And when I say airmen, I mean officers, enlisted, and civilians, have the highest quality airmen ready to do the mission of the Air Force for the next 10 years, for the next 20 years, or the next 30 years.
Now, the Air Force has always been one of the jewels of federal research, the Rome Air Force Research Center and so forth. Will you continue on that vein? That is, will there be sufficient people in the whole research area to keep the edge that has kept us technologically ahead of other nations?
Well, without addressing any specifics, because I just don't have them at my fingertips for locations, I will tell you the answer to that is an unequivocal yes. The Air Force has always been a technological service, will always continue to be a technological service. You know, the first person who looked up and said, why are we going through that trench? Why don't we go over that trench to find out what's behind it? He was an airman at heart. And that innovation, that technological edge is really what's made your Air Force so great today.
All right. So tomorrow you are speaking at the Human Capital Management Defense Conference. In fact, Emily Kopp, my co-host this morning, will be there on hand. What will you be telling the other people in Human Capital?
Well, we'll talk about the importance of managing human capital in a time when numbers are getting smaller and forces are getting smaller. Managing human capital becomes much more important. When you have less people, you can't afford to make mistakes. And as you move forward with managing people today, technology becomes a huge part of that management. Technology allows you to do personal management with less number of people and more efficiently, but you've got to make sure you have the right technology that really provides what the customer needs.
And what about the morale side to make sure that people watching this happen that are going to stay say, hey, I still want to be here?
Well, morale is very, very important. You know, we spend a lot of time talking about the culture of an airman. As all the services do, our culture in the military makes us unique. And we have to make sure that we're taking care of our people because, after all, our people are our most important and our most valued resource. Whether you're talking a young enlisted family, a young officer family, or a civilian who's been with us for many years, we've got to make sure that they understand that there's a unique culture in the military and a unique pride in being part of an organization and something that's much bigger than they are. And that's why they're willing to sacrifice 365 days a year around the world, wherever we ask them to serve.